that someone... See, here's the danger point. A man, I'll not call his name because of several reasons, but a man told me some time ago who consumed an enormous amount of whiskey every day of his life that I knew him. And he told me out of his own mouth, he said, I hate the doctrine of once saved, always saved, because of that doctrine, I am an alcoholic today. And I said, explain it to me. Now, this man died young because of his alcoholism. He said, when I was a young man, I joined a church, not a Pentecostal, but I joined a church, and he said, I was sincere. God knows I was sincere. And he cried. I think he was telling the truth. He said, I was sincere. And I had a desire to preach. And he said, I did not drink. I did not use foul language. I didn't do any of these things. And then one night, I was with a group of other kids from the church, same church. And he said, they bought some whiskey. And they offered me a drink. And he said, no, I can't drink that. I got, in his words, I got saved. And I can't do that. And they said, man, didn't you hear the preacher preach? Everybody sins. You can't help it. Everybody sins, more or less. That's just the outer man that drinks. The inward man still stays saved. He said, go ahead and drink it. It won't hurt you. And he said, they persuaded me that I could still drink and still be saved. And he said, because of that start, I am what I am today, an alcoholic and a bad one at that. Now, I'd hate to tell somebody that they can do wrong and still be right. I'd hate to tell someone you can do wrong and still be right. If any of you made any mistakes today that you haven't repented of, or myself, if we made any sinful mistakes, I'm not talking about some people think if you overeaten, if you overate, you sin. You sin against the body, not against God's holy word. They'll draw that on you. Say, well, it's a sin to overeat. Sin against what? It's a sin against your own body. That don't mean you're hell bound. That's something you pay for with your own misery. If you get out here and casually speed over 55 miles an hour, I'm not talking about 95. That might be a crime and a sin. But I'm talking about, as most of us have done, unknowingly or unthoughtedly have exceeded the laws of the land. Someone said, then you are a sinner because you broke the laws of the land. But the truth of the matter, unless you're becoming dangerous and endangering people, your sin is against the state law and the national law. It's not against God's Word. God's Word didn't say anything about 55 miles an hour. But it is against the laws of the land. It does tell us to respect the laws of the land. Now, if you don't, and you get caught, Rendell once said, where there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no cop there, drive as fast as you please. Years ago, he said that. I think he was pulling the Scripture a little bit out of his setting, don't you? And he knew it, of course. But here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Can a person lose out with God after he's known God? Can he? Now, you'll find people that believe you can't. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you can. Unless you go to church and live for God and pray and keep your testimony up and keep the fire burning, you'll get cold and cold and cold. And the first thing you know, you're out and completely out. I have seen them move from the front part of the church, no reflection to use that I have always sat back there. I'm not talking about that. But if you see Chris start moving from here where he's sat for the last two or three years now, and he starts edging back and edging back, and the first thing you know, the father's pew is not far enough back, and he gets him a chair and leans back against the wall back there, you know there's something wrong. Something's wrong. His innards is changing. He's losing out. And if he follows that pattern, the next thing you know, he won't even be in the chair leaning against the wall. He'll be outside and we won't even know where he is. That don't only apply to Chris, that applies to everyone else. Amen. When you see someone slack up on attendance, I know people that used to wouldn't miss midweek service under any circumstances, but today you never see them in the house of God. I worry about them. Unless there's a justified reason, I worry about it. When it gets to the place that Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night is not important, every service is important. You may not be able to attend all, but every service is important. And support it with your goodwill, whether you can be there or not. Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, first of all, I just want you to think about what the human race is. What is man? Who was Adam? Who was that? Who? He was the Son of God. The Word of God tells us plain that he was the Son of God. What kind of Son of God was he? Created Son of God. And yet he had the breath of God in his nostrils that made him a living soul. Now once in a while, let me sidetrack here long enough to say this. Once in a while somebody wants to know, whereabouts is the soul? Is it here? Someone said below the fifth rib. Where is the soul? Brother Abel said, I feel this in my soul. And he said, I must be soul all over because I feel it in my feet, I feel it in my hands, I feel it in my head. Did you know we laughed at that, but that's exactly the truth. He was soul all over. He was, if he's still living, is a living soul. That's what you are. It's not the fact of having a soul. You are a living soul. All right, everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God for his goodness. Amen, amen. Adam was the son of God. The Word of God plainly tells us, if you study the genealogies of Mary, of Joseph, you go back to Adam, who was the son of God. And what happened to Adam? As the New Testament tells us, by one man's sin, death came upon all of us. Adam, by transgression, fell. Adam lost out with God. Do you believe it? Adam lost out with God. The little book of Jude tells us about angels that lost and left their estate, their first estate. They left their habitation. And they don't have a second chance. I don't read of any redeemed angels. We had the second chance. We had the Christ. He's our hope. I don't read where any angels ever had a chance to be born again. Oh, but thank God I had an opportunity of being born again. Praise the Lord. Sister Bristow getting it out of her system as to what she was and how she used to live. That doesn't make a bit of difference since Calvary. And since Calvary's applied to your life, thank God it's gone. And I'm speaking to everyone else. Let's love God a little while. Love God. Amen, amen. Do you believe Adam and Eve were pure at first? Do you believe they were holy at first? Oh, just as innocent as they could be. It was after sin. Now, always there's someone who wants to figure out what the sin was. Sin was disobedience. Whatever the fruit was, it was disobedience. I'm confident it was not sex because God commanded them to replenish the earth. So that knocks that doctrine in the head right there. I don't like for people to hatch up things like that. There's a cowboy driving a Cadillac. Cowboy stopped in the Wonderland Cafe one time. Found out I was a preacher. He had a big hat on. I know he's a cowboy. He was a good one, too, because he had a white hat on. The bad ones wear black hats. You ever notice that? Amen. But anyway, after he found out I was a preacher, he said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Where'd Cain get his wife?" I said, "Are you married?" And he said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Why do you care?" All right, silly questions merit silly answers. And I finally told him, he said, "Well, you know, Eve was the only woman in the world, and she was already married." And I said, "Oh, no, she wasn't the only woman. She was at one time, but There was Cain, and then there was Abel, and then there was other sons and daughters born. And then they had children. Of course, somebody had to marry their sister in those days. Somebody took their sister to wife. You say, oh, that's bad. No, where there's no law, there's no transgression. This side of there, there's law. But I don't know that Cain married his sister, because he might have married his niece. See, they lived to be 600-year-old, 700-year-old, 500-year-old, 300-year-old. So I don't know. Tell you the truth about it, I don't care. But I know one thing, it was a fallen race that began to indulge in sin. It was a fallen race that committed the first murder. It was a fallen race that brought forth the wrong kind of sacrifice. And did you know this race was originally the sons of God, the creative sons of God? And yet you tell me someone can't lose out with God? Did not Adam lose out with God? Did not Eve lose out with God? Whenever or however it might have happened, Cain sure wasn't very close to God when he became a murderer. And the story goes on and on and on. Now, just for a plain New Testament lesson tonight, we'll talk to you from the 19th chapter of St. Luke. And this is just, I'm not tiring at anybody. I'm not fighting any church group at all. I'm just trying to show you the danger point. If you get to thinking that you can drink, well, we'll say some of the things that you quit. Brother Gary, I don't know whether you ever drank or not. Don't tell me if you did. I'd just soon not know. But no, you smoke, and you probably used to have a high temper and maybe kick the cat around. Not your wife. I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about four-legged ones. And I don't know what all you did. But whatever you did, if the devil can get you to go back to that and think that it's all right to doing those things, he's got you on a downhill run. When God picked us up out of sin and put us on a higher plane, he intended for us to stay up here and not go back to pollution anymore. Now, if the devil can convince you that you can still curse and blackguard and smoke and chew and dip and fuss and fight and do all the things of sin, and in our ranks, in our holiness ranks, this thing is creeping in big. We've got people that are drifting into what's called formerly charismatic groups. Now listen to me closely. I thought about running an ad in the paper here a while back, and for certain reasons, I'll tell you later, I'm glad I didn't at that point, because God knows His business. But I thought about running a big ad in the paper after someone put an ad in, "We are charismatic." And I thought putting one in, if charismatic means speaking with tongues, then I'm charismatic. And that's really where they get that. But if it means supposedly speaking with tongues, and the ladies wearing pantsuits and shorts and swimming suits and mixed bathing, and the men chewing and dipping and smoking and cursing and gambling and going to the horse races and doing all these things and still supposed to be speaking with tongues, then if that's charismatic, I am not. Now, in our ranks, there are people that feel like that they can, the ladies feel like they can cut their hair. One lady said, "Well, I figured it all out. I don't have to cut my hair and still have it short." She said, "All I have to do is just go to the cook stove and burn it off. Just burn it off, and I haven't cut it." Boy, I'm preaching a bad doctrine tonight, aren't I? The results are the same. The results are the same. Now, I'm not no hobbyist on the hair question. We don't have to. Our people are not too bad along that line. Usually that's just an outward sign of something that's wrong on the inside anyhow. When you begin to do these things, it's talking about there's something else we need to dig up other than the hair. You can look like a Christian and still not be a Christian. Amen. But anyway, in our ranks today, there are those that are doing these things and wearing their shorts and short shorts and pantsuits and all that. I'm not talking about the other churches now. I'm talking about our people. Not our church here, but I'm talking about in our ranks. The reason I'm talking about tonight, I don't want you doing it. And they're still saying, "Well, I still got the Holy Ghost because I still speak with tongues." That don't mean anything. You say, "Well, what scripture have you got?" The main scripture I've got is Ephesians 4. God gave apostles and prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ. And if the man of God that you trust is your pastor and you attend the church where a man is the pastor, you're supposed to listen to him. And if he's so harebrained that you can't listen to him, get one that you can listen to. And I don't mean get him here, go somewhere else. I think you understand what I mean. You don't have to have it spelled out. If the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians was not there concerning men wearing long hair and women cutting their hair, the negative side of that, don't wear long hair, boys and men, and do have long hair, ladies. But if that 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians was not in the book, Ephesians 4 is still in there, that says that God gave, your gift is the ministry, teaching you how to live and what's best for the church and what's best for your soul and what's best to make you an example in this world as a Christian. Amen. I think we need to listen to the Word of God. Let's praise the Lord. Now then, the 19th chapter of Luke, and I'll begin at the very first verse. You may wonder why I'm going to use Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee, wee man, and a wee, wee man was he. He climbed up in a what? Well, now, somebody said mulberry tree, and someone said sycamore tree. I wonder which is right. Well, both of you are right. A sycamore tree in Palestine is more like a mulberry tree in America. The American sycamore tree, like the one on the lot down here, is not the kind of tree that Zacchaeus climbed up into. More like a mulberry, maybe wild or otherwise, but bushy and not near as long and slick and slimy as we've preached about a lot of times. Now, that's beside the point, too, but it's good sometimes to notice these things because I preached some good sermons when I was a young preacher about that long, tall tree and how far it was from one limb to another, and he'd almost get to that limb and slide back down, you know. All right. But it was more like a mulberry tree. Amen. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and someone may be saying under your breath, Zacchaeus. Well, I'm going to still say Zacchaeus. Which was chief among the publicans, and a publican is what? All right, a man, a public servant of some nature, in all probability in this case, like a tax collector, because he had, by confession, evidently taken some things that he shouldn't have taken. Promised to return it fourfold. That's pretty good repentance. And he was rich. And not many honest people, especially publicans, would get rich by salary. It would be by the things that a man like Zacchaeus would be having done. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I like that thought right there. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. I wish that a lot of folks today would take a look as to who he was. Amen. Son of God? Yeah. Born of a woman. But before the Son of God, he was just known as the Word of God. Amen. And after his sonship, we no longer know him after the flesh, we know him after the Spirit. The only part of the Son that remains is the plan of redemption. That's the reason we repent and are baptized in His name. He's not coming again, and we'll see Him as a Son. We'll see Him as the everlasting Father. We won't see Him as the second. We won't see Him as the fleshly man. He said, Father, glorify me even with thine own self, even as we were at the foundation of the world. I don't mean by that his physical appearance would be changed from his glorified appearance. I don't mean that at all. But I mean he will not be a second place. He said, behold, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He spoke this after his glorification. He sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not see for the press because he was a little statue. It means that he was somewhat the size of John Marvin. And he couldn't see because someone was standing in front of him. No reflection, John. That's just the way it was. But he did something about it. He ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a what? A sinner. So can we agree that Zacchaeus was a sinner? They said he was. I'm in agreement with him. By his own confession, a little bit later on as I read it, I'm in agreement that Zacchaeus was a sinner. But that's not all he was. Now, this I'm not leaving my thought for tonight, if you'll just stay with me. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to thine house. Someone said he got saved right there. Jesus is talking about himself. This day I have come to your house. Did not the Word of God say, Simeon said, I have seen thy salvation, a glory to the people of Israel and a light to lighten the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord. Now this man Zacchaeus was a sinner. Jesus said, Salvation has come to this house. Forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. So we've learned something here. Zacchaeus was a sinner. Zacchaeus was also the son of Abraham. Now the next verse tells us that Zacchaeus was lost. For he says, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We're talking about Zacchaeus. A sinner, a son of Abraham, and he was lost. If this doctrine that you can't lose out with God, he would have still been found in spite of his stealing, in spite of his wrongdoing. But the fact is, here's a son of Abraham who had lost out with God. He let money and greed and position and maybe worldliness come into his life and crowd the blessings of God out. But you know what? Just a desire to see Jesus made him a different man. He climbed up where he could see him. And when he saw him, then he heard him. And when he heard him, then he obeyed him. Praise God. That's what we first got to do, folks. Show people the Lord. And if we can get them to see who he is. Amen. Who is this man Jesus we're talking about? He's the everlasting Father, Isaiah 9 and 6. He's the Prince of Peace, same verse. Praise God. He's the mighty God, same verse. Hallelujah! I love Him, I love Him, I love Him. And I feel like we ought to praise Him with all our heart. Amen. Now then, who are we, children of God? Who are we? We're the sons of God. By Adam? No, that was all annulled. We become servants of sin. We inherited this from the Adam race. The 6th chapter of Romans tells us that ye are, servants to whom you lend your members. You are servants of sin if you lend your tongue to cursing, to blackguarding, to vulgar jokes, to bad words, bad stories. You have become a servant of sin. If you lend your hands to do the things that should not be done, you play the wrong kind of music. No child of God should play worldly music. No Christian should play worldly music, either on the piano, on the guitar, on the organ, on the horns, or on the record player, or intentionally even on the radio. What I'm saying, you should not tune in purposely to hear these things. Every once in a while, somebody says to me, Have you heard the latest song? No, usually I haven't. And if I did, I didn't pay any attention to it. I'm not interested in backstreet affairs. I'm not interested in adulterated songs, adulterous type songs, or songs that indicate fornication, and all these things are all right. And that's what the world is full of. Praise the Lord. I'd rather hear about the New Jerusalem. I'd rather hear about a better way. I'd rather hear about that place we're going. Praise the Lord. If you feel like I do, clap your hands unto the Lord. If you've got an 8-track player in your car, and I haven't been peeping, but if you've got an 8-track player in your car, I can peep in at your tapes and pretty well tell what your interest is. A preacher told me some time ago, he said, I guess my son, that preacher's not a member of this church, I guess my son must have 200 tapes, rock and roll tapes, hard rock. And I thought, oh God, not in my house. Not in my house. They'd have to smuggle them in if they stayed in my house. Some of the biggest joys I ever got is taking an electric racer and racing them things and re-recording them with gospel songs. Praise God. Makes good gospel songs. What a surprise when somebody stole all those tapes from Rendell's car one time. Amen. They said Blue Moon and Blue something else and this and that, but it had gospel songs on them. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you this. Once when Brenda started working, I warned you girls about and boys about working in public work. Once when Brenda started working at a drugstore, it wasn't long until she was in her home babysitting for this family. And it wasn't long until they began to teach her things that she had never known before. They taught her how to play cards like pitch. To this day, I don't know how to play. And I'll tell you something else. I won't even learn. Because I'm not going to try to learn. I've got a lot more interesting things to do. And it wasn't long until one day she was in the bathroom and her mother opened the door and there she was shuffling cards, learning something. This is several years ago. I'm telling you, this is where you've got to be careful, folks. And there's where we had a little family war. You say you shouldn't have. Yes, we should have. Those things had never been in our house. And they left that day. And they've never been back. Amen. That's just the way it is. I don't think it's necessarily a sin for you to play a game of cards without betting. I really technically don't think it's any different to playing horseshoes or checkers or some other game that might be accepted. Now I'm getting on your side, making you feel a little bit better. But here's what I'm talking about. If you're not careful, you start in these things and you keep graduating. You go on and on and on. And the first thing you know, you're in sin. Now, here's the danger. I hope you'll listen to me good right now. Honestly, I don't see any harm in shooting a game of pool if it was in your living room or on your porch or somewhere any more than I'd see in pitching a horseshoe game. But there are certain things that's tangled up with this pool business that I don't want my grandkids. My kids are getting too old now to me talk about them. But I don't want my grandkids to learning to be pool sharks and learning too good at this thing, because the next thing you know, they're not satisfied at home if they have one at home or at the neighbor's house. They want to go down to the recreation hall, and I've been there in my day. And to recreation hall, there's all kinds of sin. There is drinking. And the first drink of alcoholic beverage I ever had was in the nice pool hall at our hometown. And then there was solicitation of different type, bad women. Names are handed out in those places. I want to tell you, folks, recreation halls that are not connected with the church is not a very holy place for your kids to go. It discourages them from going and discourages them from games and habits that would make them want to go. I never did learn how to dance. And the few times I went to dances, I was embarrassed. When they tried to get me to dance, I didn't know how. Thank God I didn't know how. If I'd have known how, I might have been swallowed up by that spirit of the world that's pulled so many people down, down, down to a devil's hell. Well, bless the Lord. Let's love God just a little while, will you? Now, who are we? We were not born sons of God in the natural. Get that out of your mind. Someone said that all people are sons of God by nature, that the Russians, the Germans, and everybody, we're all brothers in God. I want to tell you again, that was all and all. There's nobody in the church today except the born again. There's nobody saved today except the born again. And the born again are those that have repented of sin and been buried with Him in water baptism and filled with His Spirit. That's God's born again people. Now, we can't help what the Adam race does. They're going to dress wrong because that's all they know. They're going to take on habits. That's all they know. They're going to curse and blackguard, and they're going to whoremonger and harlot and give themselves to harlotry and all of that. That's the world. Not every worldly person, not every sinful person is a harlot or a whoremonger or a big sinner. I know that. But I'm telling you that the world is lost. Regardless of how good or bad they are lost. Amen. But our beginning starts in the church. We're children of God. We're sons of God. Hallelujah. We are sons of God. By Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been reborn again. We've been regenerated. We know the Lord. We've been set on a high plane. He breathed into our nostrils. We became a living soul by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, what are we going to do with this that God has made us? The same thing that God wanted Adam to do. stay in that beautiful place that God put him. Do the things He wanted him to. He didn't. But you can. You can. Because God has put something in you, as we've already been quoted tonight, something within you that's greater than he that's in the world. If you want to live for God, again I quote from Romans 6, you are members to whom ye yield your servants, to whom you lend your members. You see, just as easy as you can lend your tongue to cursing and guarding and all that, even as a child of God, it's more easy. You can say, praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And love Him with all your heart. And you can use your hands and your feet and your body to glorify God. Amen. Let me say this. You don't pal with the world. You must reach the world. But you don't pal with the world. Your best friends are not to be worldlings. It just won't work that way. Be not unequal. Their interest is one thing, yours is another. So don't get your best friend outside. Amen. Witness to them, yes. But if you find yourself going with them to the places they go and doing the things that they do, you'll find yourself just like them and you can't win them at all. Keep yourself from the world. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself unspotted. Keep yourself holy. Remember, you're a child of God. You are in the image of God, not only the physical Adam, but God has made you through Jesus Christ, His Son, His child. And you could fall, but you don't have to fall. One last scripture, and this of course, is used so many times. Let me quote it to you. It reads that he that is born of God doth not commit sin. Doth not commit sin. Not commit sin. That is, you do not do sin. You do not do sin. Everybody say, I don't do sin. I don't do sin. Now, here's what I'm saying. He that is born of God doth not. He just don't do sin. Now, he is born of God, and God's seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. Now, this is a scripture that some of these fellows say, you can't sin even though you do. They say, if you drink, it's not a sin. If you curse, it's not a sin. If you blackguard, it's not a sin. That's a lot of silliness. If you blackguard, you've sinned. If you cuss, you've sinned. If you drank whiskey, you've sinned. If you mistreat your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your mom or your daddy, you've sinned. Praise God. You said, but it said you can't. Well, now you've got to read the whole chapter. You've got to read the whole verse. You've got to see what it's talking about. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. How come y'all didn't go to fishing tonight? You couldn't go, Brother Jackson? Really, you could have. That's the whole story. That's it. We have church on Wednesday night. I can't go fishing on Wednesday. No, it wouldn't be a sin to go fishing on Wednesday night. That's not what we're talking about. But he can't go fishing on Wednesday night because we have midweek service on Wednesday night. I can't sin because I'm a child of God. Oh, I could, yeah, but then his seed's not in me anymore. Then I'm messed up. And this is not saying that literally you couldn't. It's saying you can't afford to because you're a child of God. That's not saying you can sin and you're still a Christian. That's a big stick of baloney. Amen. You just can't do that because you're a Christian. Praise God. Let's stand and love God, will you? Amen. Love God. Love God. Praise God. I want you to pray right where you are tonight. Reach out for God. Will you reach out for His presence? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Move with your blessings. Move with your kindness. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. Help us, Lord, to praise you, to give honor to you. We seek your face. We call on your name because thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. We praise you, we glorify you, and we love you. Amen, amen. I want us to pray for the weekend. And we need, we hit a move of revivalism for a few weeks. And suddenly we are losing a little revival touch. That's not all revival. But I want to see these that are seeking God filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not all revival. We need teaching. You need to know. You need to know that you could lose out with God. You need to know that you must obey the Word of God. But we need revival that will bring these souls through as they come in, as they hear the Word of God, that they'll be developed, that they'll be brought all the way into the kingdom of God. I want you to join hands and pray for the weekend services. This Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday night will be like a revival move. And someone will find God. Will you pray right now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, merciful God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Move, Lord, with your glory. Move, Lord, with your power. Move with your blessings. Move, Lord, with your mighty love. In the holy name of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Send us, Lord, a revival. Send us, Lord, a revival that will stir this town. Bless these that are coming in, that they may be filled with the glory of God. Now, Lord, we're seeking your face. We're asking for deliverance for those that are deep in sin. Bring them in, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. God richly bless you. Remember Saturday night. And come and enjoy the ministry of Brother Ren Rutledge, and probably Sister Lana will be with us. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.